Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay. Welcome to episode 57 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
Man, I'm good, but I guess we better tell everybody that I'm doing this show from the road.
Yeah, we should probably explain why the audio quality's probably gone down on your end.
Yeah, we'll just do the best we can, but hey, we don't miss anything. Hey, y'all, this episode is brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
EMP Shield also, y'all. They got that new micro out there, and it's $50 off with promo code PERMA. So don't forget to check us out, if you can, on the Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. All right. So tip of the day, right off. Knock on doors. Son, this is what I love about this format, about being able to do the podcast, or rather the Pimpcast, is because I can go into much greater detail about things that ordinarily I couldn't. I mean, you can only do so much in a video, and it's like, to me, it's like reading a book as opposed to watching a movie. You know, Lord of the Rings was a pretty cool, you know, trilogy, but it really has nothing on the books. So that's the cool thing. That's the dichotomy, I think, between YouTube and the podcast, is that I can go into way more detail. So what I'm getting at with that tip of the day is I flew into Arizona and I'm here for training, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I had a little bit of time to kill, and I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with the time I have? Let me go ahead and Google who's doing permaculture out here in Arizona. Well, turns out the first guy that pops up on the list, well, he wasn't even supposed to be on there. Tried to call him up. It had a phone number, everything for him. Tried to call up. No luck. And then finally just literally went to his door. And because I saw the door, I mean, back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for people to knock on somebody's door. So it's an urban setting. I go there and then, you know, I go around back, eventually find this guy. And I'm telling you what, y'all, I got an incredible understanding about desert permaculture and what this guy did. It is extraordinary, son. My man at the back of the house, under the radar, beneath any city ordinances or anything like that, man, he built a straw bale. You could even call it a root cellar.
Oh, wow.
And he did it right there in the city. And, I walked down in it. It was something else. Every single structure on that property had an extraordinary, I mean, because they have got to respect water so much more out in a place like that, that there was not one surface, even the water that fell on the ground or the runoff from the street. He even accounted for that, for the street that was uphill, about how he can funnel all that stuff, fill up all the swales, the mini swales that he had in his backyard. And I'm telling you what, you look at his place, he's got trees that he's never, ever, ever watered, all with good technique. So wow. It was a real joy to meet this guy.
Well, the video came out today. If people want to see, I mean, they won't see him in the video, but they'll see like the tour of the little food forest you did.
And well, I tell you what, that's another reason. And I talked about it in that video where I was like, man, I'll tell you what, Eric Sider's shirts, man, even today on the job I was on, every single person out there practically was like, dude, awesome shirt. Where do I get one? But I'm telling you, it is a, when you wear a shirt, now in the past I'd wear stuff that was more controversial.
Yeah.
I'm finding out that if I wear something that engages a person, and you know, I get way more hay out of it, especially if it's something thought provoking. And you also kind of dig out other people that might be similar to your way of thinking. So that is a really, really cool thing. But anyway, walked up on this guy's place. He was preparing to teach a permaculture design course tomorrow. And, or no, it was actually next week. So he was setting things up. But I'm telling you what, man, it was really awesome, because I'm also seeing that even in his food forest areas, and I didn't get to film this like I wanted, everything is set up exactly the way you and I would do it.
Yeah.
And just different stuff altogether. I look out there and I look at this mesquite tree, which I didn't know at first what it was. And I said, well, hey, what kind of legume tree is that? Because it looks almost like a mimosa. And he said, that's mesquite. And then he's showing me how, you know, their understory, their overstory, shrub layer, all of it, man. Except they don't do anything with ground cover.
So same pattern, different like environment, different climate, but the same
different
pattern.
Species, yeah.
Same
pattern, same everything. Only thing where I think, you know, I don't know what they could do with ground cover, but I'm telling you what, he had a little mini garden going there that was as impressive as all get out. Also, I mean, he's using, now check this out, this is going to blow your mind. He is using humidor on his annuals, and he's been doing it for almost 20 years.
How's he doing it?
What's that?
How's he doing it?
Well, he's doing it through, it's basically a very hot composting process. And he kind of developed his own, he's taken some other methods that people do, but he's really devised his own method. I would love to spend a day out here to see exactly. There was no odor, no off-putting thing, anything.
Hmm.
Other things like the house he's in. He said, you know, it's a house that was built in the 40s, and how people survived out there, I do not know. He said it was so hot in that house, you couldn't even stick your hand on the inside wall. So damn. He basically took, and then he encouraged his neighbors to do it too. He basically took like foam sheeting and just, you know, made his own version of stucco on the outside of it. So it certainly helps. But extraordinary guy. But folks, that's why I'm making it the tip of the day, is because, you know, nobody wants to just do a cold call, walk up on somebody's house. Well, there was a time in America where that was pretty common. It wasn't uncommon for somebody to knock on your door
and try to sell you stuff.
What's that, son?
And try to sell you stuff.
Yeah. Hey, with our difference, with our son, you got to make sure we don't step on each other, because I'm missing transmission on my end.
Is there a delay?
No, there's not much of a delay, but as I'm talking, it's not like I'm in the same room with you. So okay. you got to give me a little space there, because I can't hear you. Hey, folks, we're working this out. We do this live. That's just how we do it. So, yeah, knock on doors. If you see something, I remember there was that Lee Calhoun, son, did the same exact thing in North Carolina, where he wrote the book Old Southern Apples. And he talked about all these apple, you know, varieties that have essentially gone extinct in the South. I mean, it's a really, really awesome story. But he would literally drive around, he and his wife, he would drive around and see an apple tree and he would go up to knock on the door. Hey, you mind if I get can I take some clippings? And then he would take them back to his orchard. And now he's basically got a living orchard at his place. That's, well, he's passed on now, but it's extraordinary. And it all came from him knocking doors. So I was thinking about Lee Calhoun when I went up to this guy's place. At first, I'm like, man, I've retrained myself to be okay with hearing the word no or get out of here. But it was a happy, happy surprise. And I couldn't be more thankful for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to move into the farm news. Well, before I left, we actually did a little video on that. We moved the pigs. How are they doing?
The pigs are doing awesome. It's amazing how quickly they clear silver grass. Like, it's like they have to find out what's underneath silver grass. And it's awesome.
Well, it helps even more. I remember I was over there one day and there was a clump they weren't messing with. Well, I threw that rice and what we feed them. For those that are new here, Chinese silvergrass is a very invasive type thing where we live. And people, it's like the bane of their existence to everybody out there. So
it's a very invasive clumping grass. So it's hard to get rid of. Think of like very large. Well, it's not even the same thing, but it's a very large clumping grass that just completely takes over when there's a bunch of sun. So,
yeah. So that's one of the things the pigs are helping wiping out for us, because they're getting in there and knocking that stuff out, and couldn't be happier with that. But we're planning big things, y'all. That's more farm news. William, I got to admit it. I failed yesterday on my power list. I missed a little something there being on the road. And I got to say, y'all, for those that are out there doing it yourselves, man, I'll tell you what, it felt like somebody kicked me in the jimmy. I was like, man, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I got up this morning and, you know, getting ready to go out here and do this work. And I was like, good night, man. I absolutely failed yesterday. Okay, well, how do we fail, y'all? While daring greatly. That's how we do it. And that's how you should do it, too. So I may have missed it, but I'm back on point today. And it looks like I'm doing, you know,
well,
everybody's going to have a loss.
I don't think you're powerless. Like, if you miss one on your powerless, I don't think that counts as a fail. I think if it's three out of two, you do?
Yes, you got to do it all.
I mean, I haven't missed any yet, but I'm also on, like, what, day four or something like that? I haven't missed any yet.
Well, I missed one, and it was a class. It's an online class I'm taking. And, I had every intention, but I had this massive headache because I'm out here and didn't drink enough water, so I was suffering from some dehydration, which I'll cover here in a minute. But anyway, I'm out here in Arizona, and I'm in this little town. Y'all, be careful when you get these Airbnbs, because some of these folks sell these things. Check this out. So I get in here. Not that I'm going to watch the TV anyway, but the TV doesn't work. The Wi-Fi doesn't work. The heater barely works. Man, I was so cold up in here last night. I mean, there's a bunch of people on this site where I'm working. They're camping out. I bet they were warmer in their tents than I was in this place until I realized, oh, well, guess what? They got an oven in here. So did it the old-fashioned way, like when I was a kid. Turn the oven on, open the door, snug as a bug in a rug. But obviously, you can't sleep that way. But
do you remember that one Airbnb where the bathroom walls didn't connect to the ceiling?
Yeah.
And it sounded like an echo chamber in there.
Yeah, man, that was not cool. Well, this ain't quite as bad as that. I mean, they got an air conditioner in the side of there. I'm not sure it would do much good in this climate because it's a small one, like a window unit. But I text the guy who runs this Airbnb, and I'm like, hey, man, you got something else for a heater? He says, no, that thing warms up really good. I'm like, no, it does not. So I'm like, this thing is like barely blowing. So anyway, while I was gone today, well, speaking about where I was gone, well, y'all have come out here. Like I said, we got big things planned. I came out here in Arizona because it was the only place I could find that was building an earth ship from the ground up. And I'm wanting to get this training. Now, William has been to the Earthship Academy. He's been out there twice to Taos, but this one is an actual build. I've read all the books written by Michael Reynolds, but so much has changed since he wrote those books. And I'm thinking, okay, where do I go to go get this training? We got a lot on our plates. We got a lot of things we're doing, but I have got to put my hands on this thing. And that's really what the topic is about today. You got to put your hands on this stuff in order to really get a full understanding of it in so many different ways. Now, there are ways and things you can do, but when you're doing things that are very nuanced, like pounding a tire,
Hey, Dad, what I was doing today. You got to move the phone away from your face.
Okay.
It was really loud in the... this is live and we're figuring it out, y'all.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Sorry about that. You know, get out here on this job and there's nuanced things. We'll talk more about that later, but son, I got to say that on this job, there's been something of a, my own, and this might shock some people, but my own bigotry was brought to my face today. And let me tell you what I mean by that is I was telling your mom before I went, I made all these assumptions about the people that I would meet here. And they weren't good assumptions. And that is the definition of prejudice. In fact, it's a very different prejudging. That's what prejudice is. And honestly, I had all of these preconceived notions about the kind of people that would be here. And I really didn't want to take this trip, but I was wanting the training. And I got to say, y'all, I'm going to have to eat a little crow right off, at least this first day to a certain extent. Because really... it showed a demonstration of bigotry in me, and I was humbled today by what I saw. Now, son, I kind of barely talked to you before. I mean, William's finding this out like the rest of y'all.
Yeah, so this I'm is the first here. Time I've heard any of this.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm out here, show up this morning, and they get started at 9. And, you know, I'm seeing a bunch of people around me, and I'm still making certain assumptions. Now, I showed up the day before, and I met a couple of people. And got to say, y'all, had to eat a little bit of crow, and I'll probably eat more of it as time goes by, but I lay myself bare in this thing. And the assumptions I made were by and large incorrect, especially as it pertained to the women. I got to say, son, I was out here pounding tires all day, did it with a smile on my face. Well, maybe not always, because they kind of moved me into fixing other people's problems. And I'm teamed up with this lady from Argentina. And I got to say, I was astonished at how, at the end of the day, the lady from Argentina, I don't want to say her name here. I don't know if she'd give me liberty to do that, but she looks up and she says, you know, you're the only guy here. And I'm like, what? Outside of the guys that came from the Earthship, you know, crew. I'm like, what? For some reason, I don't know where they went, but I was the last man standing there. And I'm like, it's me. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 6 women left. The other women that weren't there were doing other things. I mean, there's one lady from, she's a 65-year-old woman, and she was busting her hump all day. And I'm like, where are these able-bodied men? And the lady from Argentina was like, man, this is weird. You're the only man here. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. All the women were there out there doing their thing, pounding tires. I was thoroughly impressed, with all the women I saw out there. And where these guys went off to, I do not know. But, hey, wow. Ladies, these ones out here, man, they are representing, let me tell you. I mean, I am thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. But, I still don't. I was talking to Eric Sider yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we were on the phone talking, and I'm like, man, of all the places to live, I don't know that I'd pick here just because of the water issues and, you know, but there does seem there's this part of me that's being out here right now, and I'm looking around me and I'm like, good night, man. It would not take much with good management, good water management, to really make this place sing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those out there that live in this environment, look, you do have options, but just not one for me. All right. So with that said, son, we're going to move on into the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
All right.
The Bible says in Psalm 121, verses 1-3, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Remember, the Lord is our keeper and our help. Our God never sleeps nor slumbers and will never let us down. So let's trust him completely with whatever we got going on in our life today. Because remember, after all, he did make heaven and earth.
All right. Well, here we are. Thank you, Pastor Lon. Check out the Homesteading Pastor on YouTube and Instagram. All right, son, bad news, good news. Now, here's some more bad news that just now happened.
Just now?
I don't have my phone. You stepped on something.
What happened?
Well, all these, the articles I was going to talk about are, I don't have my phone tethered to my iPad, so I'm going to have to do this from memory, but it is what it is, y'all. This is live podcast. We don't call it radio, live podcast. Anyway, California, that was another thing I was talking to Eric about. Man, it looks like Godzilla walked all over it looking at some of these media stories, and they got blasted with a bunch of rain, and they got a bunch more coming, like 2 or 3 more storms. I was talking to Eric because he's in California right now, and good night, man. I guess the winds were well over 50 miles an hour. Well, he suffered a little damage on his chicken coop. And he's bringing it back together. But look, also at the same time, the same thing I just talked about as it pertains out here in this desert applies really in California. What if where you have these massive rain events, you could at least capture a lot of that? I wonder how many of these places right now get these crazy rain events and they do absolutely nothing with it. You know, like I talked about on Patreon, a lot of this rain, they just run it off the roof and then down the river it goes and onto the ocean. So I wonder if in these massive rain events, what if California had a bunch of earthworks? What if, I mean, Sam, what do you think would happen if they, or what would be the best means if you were governor of California? How would you go about capturing some of this stuff?
Just this fill rain? Like a ton of, well, a ton of swales and then use the natural landscape to fill like a bunch of easy reservoirs. That seems like an easy fix right there. Just have a bunch of small, like make every municipality like build reservoirs that will naturally catch water passively. So that way you don't have to like worry about your drought events because you have all these other backup reservoirs. That's just an easy, simple fix right there.
Makes perfect sense to me. In fact, I asked Eric about that. He said if he was governor, he'd basically have the equivalent of a FDR program all over again. They would have tractors running day and night trying to catch this stuff. But by and large, I wonder if they're doing out there the same thing the cities are doing here, where they just put it in a big gully and then run it on out instead of doing something. I mean, you are in a flipping desert. You only get 4 inches of rain out here a year. And that would be more than enough to capture, I mean, to do some really big things with if you had means, if people weren't just funneling this stuff away. So, folks, think about this on your homestead as well. Even if you live in a place where rain and water comes relatively easy, like we live in the mountains, it's given me a newfound respect for water just being here. I mean, it really does. All right, so let's get in some good news here. Check this out. This one busted, and this came from Natural News. The ER doctors on Twitter who claimed hordes of patients were dying from COVID every day were fake. Huh, how about that? That's another big Twitter bomb that just dropped. What do you think about that, son?
You remember, that reminds me of like back when this first started happening, you were able to Google like any 3-digit or 4-digit number and it would right. have like a news article of exactly what happened or like that number dying in some location in the United States. It was just fake.
I think you could still do that. I bet you a dollar to a dime and folks go out and try it. Just pick any 3-digit number and just like 487 people died of COVID. You could put that into any search engine and then bam, an article would just pop up with that exact number.
Have you heard of that new AI app that came out, that Chat GBT or whatever, where you can put in, we've actually had that for almost like 2 decades now. It's called Google.
Yeah, you got that right. You can just have a conversation. Next thing you know, they're telling you what you said. You know, Eric was telling me also he actually tried an experiment where he had it write up an article about, I can't remember, using invasive plants. And this thing wrote up an impeccable article on the thing. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I'm sitting here wondering how many kids are going to actually do a book report anymore. Is anybody ever going to read a book anymore? I mean, why am I writing a book if nobody's ever going to read it?
And how would you even check for plagiarism? Like, is there a way to?
No, you can't. They couldn't even be busted for plagiarism because these things are original documents, every single one of them. So it's extraordinary, and it's not a good thing. All right, other good news, and it may not seem like it. There's a movie out. I heard it from Dr. Tom Woods, another really good podcast. Anecdotals is the name of the film. And it's about the challenges of vaccinated people who suffer from serious side effects and what's going on with that is that they're giving you the other side. And this might shock you. A lot of these people in there came from the leftist tradition. So these are not typically the kinds of people you would expect to have. I mean, it's pretty astonishing how they're talking about in this video, like, hey, man, I hate to make it left and right, but let's say they were on the hardcore left. And then the moment they were vaccine damaged, all of a sudden their friends, when they told them about them, came down on them like a ton of bricks. Like, oh, you're making it up. You're doing this. I mean, it's really the good thing. The reason why I'm calling this a good news article is that this stuff is starting to make its way out. And I'm looking forward to the modern Nuremberg trials that are almost certainly going to have to happen unless they just, you know, it's going to hit a point of critical mass where people are going to want the heads of the people that were responsible for this. And I think it's going to be one step closer to making that happen. All right, y'all, when we get back from break, we're going to get into the main topic.
There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, Superfly, you're gonna make your fortune by and by. But if you lose, don't ask no questions
why. Oh, hold on, Dad. Hey, hold on, Dad. You're not playing for some reason.
Okay, here we go.
Now that's you're all playing. Me. All right, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, y'all, technical glitches. We're going to try to do much better next time. This is our first time having to do it like this. But thank you for checking us out anyway. Another thing, son, and for folks out there, look, I'm not going to be able to get to your Q&A on my side because I don't have access to my email here. Like I said, the Wi-Fi doesn't work. So,
well, an update on my side is that on the Fountain app just updated, and finding people's comments just became complicated. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of comments. I mean, there, I see one and it's, I don't know. The update kind of messed things up.
Well, we'll just have to have the Q&A segment in the next show. We'll have our ducks in a row next time. But hey, let's get into the main topic. And I really think this is fitting in light of everything going on in my life and, well, with our life as a family. And I got to be real careful how I say this. I want to ask you out there, should you pay money for training? And a lot of us out there, if you're listening to this Pimpcast, you're almost certainly, to some extent, a homesteader. You may be a permaculture designer. You may be a person that's thinking about all this stuff. And, you know, you're probably thinking, okay, well, I watch you guys on YouTube. I get everything there. I'm afraid you don't. And the part you're going to miss, and I don't care what it is, whether it's farming. Now, a lot of this stuff, you can learn it through trial and error, through a book, through YouTube, a lot of that. But there are other things that require, I'm not going to say it requires it, but under the tutelage of an expert, you can advance yourself much faster. For example, we have our online pig butchery, and it's a wonderful course. But the things like, and it's the best I can do, the best anybody can do without you being there. But there's little nuanced things that you can't possibly learn without actually putting your hands on it. And that is so important. I mean, how many times in your life, son, where you tried to learn a task? I mean, like your wood carving. I mean, how did that right. all work out in the beginning?
Well, because I didn't have that in-person apprentice that I could find like around here, it took me a long time to finally make something that wasn't like a club and actually functioned as a spoon. I think it took me like 6 months before I made something that actually looked like a spoon, and then like another year to finally make something that functioned as a spoon. But I used a YouTube apprenticeship almost with this guy named Zed Outdoors, and he goes around and he does those in-person apprenticeships with professionals for you, and he films everything in great detail, and that was the best I could find. But it would have been a lot faster had I had like in-person training. There were a lot of questions I had.
You know, there's so many different things. Like, okay, for example, when you're trying to explain rotational grazing. In fact, I think Greg Judy wrote this in his first book that he thought, hey, man, don't spend big money to go sit in the classroom. Now, those things do have their advantages. But he made the argument, if I'm not mistaken, and I agree with him, that you should, if you're going to spend some of the money that some of these people are charging, then you should be able to at least put boots on the ground and see with your own two eyes through a pasture walk what these things should look like. Now, there are times where, you know, there's people charging a lot of money for courses where you're only doing it online. that works in some areas, in some sciences and stuff like that. But by and large, man, you have got, I'm not going to say you have to, you can figure this stuff out, but it's going to take you, I mean, good night. It's going to go so much faster if you can learn under somebody. For example, I'm also a journeyman electrician, okay? And you work, you have classroom work, which is really worthless for the most part because you learn everything on the job. But when you get out there and you're doing these things, you learn 10, 20, maybe 50 times faster by literally putting your hands on it, working with a journeyman while you're an apprentice. You learn so much faster than if you ever had to say, oh, yeah, I got a correspondence course or I got it out of the mail. But it isn't free. Farming is another one of those things. If you can go out and reach out to somebody, remember I talked about knocking on doors? If you can go out there and let's just say there's a person out there that's doing something that you don't know anything about or you want to learn more about, I've provided numerous ways to get yourself in the door, and that's what you ought to try to do. Get through that door and see if you can shadow them, if possible. Now, some of those people might be in a position like myself where I don't have time to do any of that, but there are a number of people out there that can do it. Another one, like I said, in the butchery trade, when I got in there, you can literally do the paint by numbers, the way we show in that video, or some of the other, if you don't have money for that, y'all, we've done free versions of it online. Whether it was a pig, whether it was a sheep, or whether it was a deer, we've done that all for free on the YouTube channel. You can find it.
Or even and like jujitsu. Like for jujitsu, for example, I'm paying a guy to train me in jujitsu, and he's paying or he's getting paid to teach me how to avoid a lot of common mistakes, basically. Like there's a bunch of different ways to do the same submission, like an armbar, for example. There's a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different positions you can do it in, but he teaches it in a way, and it might not make sense at the moment, but he teaches it in a way that avoids a lot of the common mistakes and a lot of the common defenses. So you're paying for that experience as well, like to avoid certain mistakes.
And sometimes you got to pay for it. Like right out here with this Earthship build, they charged, I don't remember what it was, but hey, you know, maybe $500 or something like that. Okay, that's a lot of money. I don't know about anybody else, but that's a lot of money to me. Well, I got to pay to get here. I got to pay to get around this Airbnb. You know, we set money aside to do on-site apprenticeships. One time Michelle will go, William will go another time, and then now it's my turn in the rotation. And this is where we are right now. Now, right now, they're at the tire. And the biggest thing I wanted to learn was how to pound tires. Now you're thinking, okay, how hard could that possibly be? Well, like I said before, with every other thing, there's a lot of nuance. Today, I'm sitting here pounding this tire. I can't seem to level it up. And then one of the guys who's an old hand at this that came from the academy comes over. I mean, I'm like, dude, I'm going to hit this dude up every chance I can if I got a question. And so here I am, I'm doing what I think makes sense to me, but because he has way more experience than me, he's like, hey, angle your hammer this way, lift up on the tire this way. And then doing what he said, you know, lo and behold, okay, he says, look, every single tire, you're going to get better and better. There's little things that you're going to learn on each single tire. And then I'm watching how they pound them and they're doing it. One guy is doing it in the fraction of the time that two of us were. Well, that's experience. And like Joel Salatin always says, you can't Google experience. And, you know, it reminds me of that quote from Leonardo da Vinci. It was in one of his notebooks where he says, it's a poor sort of pupil that does not surpass his master. So you're hearing it from one of the greatest geniuses of all time in so many different ways. And he's sitting here laying it out that, you know, there's a pupil and a master sort of thing going on. And that, in my view, apprenticeship, and I've spoken about it before, to me is the best learning modality there is, because I don't have to make all the same mistakes. Guess what? I can learn new. Well, son, what about your apprenticeship down at Zaytuna? I mean, could you have gotten that online?
Absolutely not. I mean, Jeff was showing me stuff that I didn't even have the right questions to ask to find out some of the information he was giving me. But like again, he knew what I needed to know, even when I didn't know I needed to know it. And he was able to give that to me, especially whenever you're competing with a bunch of vegans. That's an easy way to win Jeff over. But yeah, that private, yeah. Especially like whenever he was frustrated and he wanted to escape and go do something, and he brought me along. He just really taught me a bunch. I mean, especially, and it's especially important to show interest in what you're wanting to learn.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're not really showing interest in what you're wanting to learn, then they're not going to take that extra step to teach you anything. But if you actually show interest and you come from the other side of the world to learn from this guy, then, I mean, he's going to take that extra step.
I feel exactly the same way. And that's exactly, and I've talked about it before in the butcher's trade, where I got out there, your enthusiasm means all the difference in the world, folks. And I mean that. You can't replace it. I mean, having been on both sides of the aisle there, first of all, I'm here because I want to learn this craft. They see me out there, I'm busting my hump, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, along with the ladies out there. We're getting this done. And I'm showing, hey, man, if I got a question, they're going out of their way to help me out. And it was the same thing in the butcher's trade, where a lot of guys were in there just kind of, you know, marking their days and doing this. And, you know, I wasn't even getting paid, and I was outworking everybody there, and I was doing cleanup without being told when it was all said and done. So when they saw the enthusiasm in me, they're thinking, okay, well, I'll teach you everything I know, Jack. You're sitting here, you're making a hand for me. I'll make you the hand you want to be. And I'm trying to do that same thing as I'm out here, because I am genuinely excited about the work I'm doing. I'm learning a new task I didn't know how to do. And these are people that are old hats at it. And so, you know, there is no way I'm going to pass up that opportunity. So folks, if you have an opportunity to go out there and get that, because look, there's some classes you have to do online because for whatever reason, maybe it's the only thing you can afford. That is better than nothing.
How far along is the build? Like how far, like is it at the, is there a roof on there yet? Or are you guys still pounding tires? Because I didn't think you guys would be pounding many tires.
Well, there was the wonderful thing about it is I couldn't have come to a better build, because typically I'm only going to be here a week and a half. So in a circumstance like that, I would only have access to, a very small portion of the things that get done here. My biggest concern, the rest of it, I felt like I can do, but it was the nuanced thing about pounding a tire. So check this out. And I hope to interview this guy tomorrow. He's a Scandinavian dude, came over here, and I'll let him tell his story. But essentially, he did every bit of this thing, minus the two courses on top. He did every single bit himself. And then we showed up to do not only this, but now with any luck, maybe I'll see the roof go on. But this guy did all by himself with a wife and a kid, sometimes pounding only 5 tires a day. He was talking about how dreadfully hot it is in the summer there. And it took him 6 months. And when I go through this, you are not going to believe what one person did. And it is astonishing. I mean, what one guy did. So the benefit to me is I'm at a part of this build to where we should finish up the tire wall tomorrow. And then I'll be able to get my hands on some other aspects. Whereas I was only thinking I'd only have access to maybe tires or one small piece of it. But it looks as if I'm going to have access to learn a whole lot about how the rest of this thing is going. I am so thoroughly impressed. It's extraordinary, and it's really astonishing what one person can do when they set their mind to it.
Did they say what model or what size Earthship or how many bedroom, bath, anything like that?
Yeah, it's an Earthship Encounter. 3 bedroom, I looked at the blueprints. 3 bedroom, 2 bathrooms, and this thing ought to be really something else by the time it's done. So so when we get to hopping and popping on ours, this guy already made the, he said, look, I'll come out and help you with yours. If, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I might just take you up on that one, buddy. But yeah, he did it all by himself. And then for a very short period of time, hired a couple of kids, and they weren't all that interested in that. So It's really astonishing the way this thing is coming up. But really, going back to the main topic here, should you pay for training? And folks, I mean, we've talked about it numerous times. Yes, you should. Even if you did an online course, it might get you all the way to the finish line. But if you have the opportunity to be there in person, set money aside like we do. We save for these kinds of things. And it only puts another feather in the cap. So when we get to kicking this thing off, instead of me, yeah, I know that eventually I could figure it out, but forget a bunch of that, man. If I can sit here and talk to guys and gals that have done this thing over and over and over again, I would be an absolute fool to not take advantage of it, especially while I'm here to get every question answered that I need answered.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, it definitely makes sense to pay for training. And this is a lot different than paying for specific training. It's a lot different than going to a college or a university and paying for all these other different classes that really have nothing to do with your degree. And it's just a large scam. Where this, you're like, if I go to, or you're paying for Earthship field study, you're learning how to build an Earthship. That's exactly what you're learning.
And a journeyman and a journey person or woman or whatever the case may be can tell you, because I can't tell you how many times I've come across this in teaching butchering classes. Everybody says, not everybody, but a lot of them, the end thing now is to want to know how to do all the charcuterie. Well, I'm like, hey, you, like I was talking to Joel Salatin, and I was like, we're not even going to talk charcuterie until you can break this animal, first of all, dispatch it properly, break it down completely, get good at the cuts. Only thing you need to know how to do in the beginning is how to do bacon and sausage. And then worried about capicola, mortadella, prosciutto, and all that stuff. Forget about that nonsense. I mean, and I'm calling it nonsense because you're putting the cart before the horse with a lot of these things. Wait, that's the advantage, you see, of having a journeyman, son. Yeah. That's the advantage because I'm out here asking, like you said, I didn't even know what intelligent. Well, I have a background in construction, so I have some understanding of what, you know, what questions make sense in an environment like this. But on the same token, there's also that guy or gal that's instructing me saying, hey, you don't need to worry about that right now. Worry about A, B, and C, which this guy actually did on one area because I'm asking like two steps ahead. He's like, well, let's just, you know, worry about setting up your batter. Worry about setting this thing up. Use your level, use this. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, all right, thank you for setting me straight. I'll concentrate on what I'm doing. That is the advantage of having somebody that's a journeyman to teach you whatever that task may be.
Yeah.
So,
and well, what was it? Jim and Kathy, they just sent me a picture yesterday of the pork chop. Jim was holding up a pork chop that they just processed. They just processed their first pig following along our pig processing video, which they paid for, and those were good-looking pork chops, too.
Man, that is so awesome. And if that's the means you have to do, that's exactly what you want to do. You can actually get through butchery, but it is also a better help if you can be there in person, because there are things that I cannot convey, like the way your knife should feel when you're tunnel boning, you know, a bone out of your ham, you know? I can describe that, but I need... The only way for you to fully learn that method, that technique, is by watching me do it. And those are things that I can't convey other than being in person. So that's the real beauty about doing stuff like this. So, yeah, do I want to be away from the farm? Absolutely not. Do I want to come halfway across the country, or actually on the other side of the country, really, to come do this? Well, honestly, I was kicking and scratching the whole way. And then when I met some of these people, I'm like, man, you know, this has been a lesson all the way around, going right back to that Mark Twain quote. You can't expect to learn, and I'm loosely quoting it, but basically, you can't expect to learn a charitable view of the world by vegetating in your own spot your whole life. So not only am I getting training, I'm getting to meet these other people who, frankly, are doing some extraordinary things. I mean, there's one lady, former school teacher, 65 years old, and she is out here, I mean, ripping it up from the floor up. You got another lady who was working with me today from Argentina. She's a fashion designer, and she is out here pounding tires. You got other people that come from, they're young women, most of them. One of them on the road nonstop came all the way from Alaska, living out of her car, and she's a fantastic person. And then there's another girl I met down the way that she's like 2 hours away from here, and she is trying the best she can to do real meaningful things in her community. Well, guess what? I'd have never had the blessing and the benefit of having met these people without getting on the first thing smoking to fly out here. That's another thing you get with these classes and with these apprenticeships, is that you meet, first of all, the introduction period is kind of simple in a thing like that. It's like when you go to a homesteading convention. It's like you already know these people to begin with because you already got the fact that you're doing this in common. So conversation starters are not that difficult. And then also another thing, I didn't mention it regarding this, but I came out there, I got Eric Sider selling some of those sweatshirts. And of course, as the one I got says permaculture preparedness on it. And then when it got hot enough, I took that off. And then I'm wearing the shirt that says regenerative, sustainable, resilient. We are here. Nearly every person on that job started a conversation with me on the basis of this shirt. Just like I was talking the other day, I got in this guy's front door, so to speak, just because, you know, like I said with Shakespeare, the apparel oft proclaimed the man. Well, it did a whole lot here with me because now we're speaking the language. And some of these folks, and you'll find a lot of them are very shy, introverted, some of them. And they're not the most loquacious people in the world until you get them to talk about what they're really passionate about. And it was a real joy to be out here and to hear these people, where they came from. Like the folks from Canada came all the way down, talked about some of the places I've been up in Canada and, you know, things, just fantastic people. And, you know, I wouldn't have the blessing, and I learned a hard lesson today, and I'm going to learn more of it too. So put yourselves in those uncomfortable, look, folks, I know it is a big burden to a lot of people, but if there is something on your homestead, something in your permaculture design, there is no substitute at all, you know, outside of learning under a master. So whether it's gardening and you know a person that's really good at it, whether it's a food forest, find those people. A lot of times it won't even cost you money. There's a lot of these people that are doing jobs where you can go out there, you know, just help them out for a day or two. You might pay a fee or two because they got to feed you half the time. It is worth every single dime. But Son, with that said, do you have any apprenticeships that you regret?
Wow. I can't think of a single apprenticeship that has been a waste of my time. Now that you say that. Yeah, I can't think of one.
I'll take the ball there and run with it because I can't think of a single, like you, I can't think of a single one that was a complete waste of my time. But coming up in the electrical trade, I remember I was in that trade for about a month. I didn't know what I was doing. And I nearly got killed because I was working with an idiot that had me working a jackhammer over 4160. It was buried. It was stupid. And I didn't even know any better. If it weren't for this guy named Delbert, I'm not even sure I'd be on this podcast right now. I mean, we're talking some really, really precarious stuff. He put an end to it. So also seek the very best you can find. Okay. If nothing else, I learned from that guy what not to do. But now, by and large, as I was coming up in the trade, I had some good ones and I had some bad ones. But the good ones, you know, if you're an intelligent person, you're going to find out, okay, well, this person ain't really making a whole lot of sense here. Maybe this doesn't add up. But look, at the end of the day, y'all, we're going to bring it to a close here. We're not going to do the Q&A segment here. But folks, I want to tell you that if you get the opportunity, and I've said this like 5 times already, take everything you can. Yes, learn what you can from YouTube. Learn what you can from books, especially books, because they go into much greater detail. Learn what you can in this pimp cast, but also learn what you can with those masters that are available to you. All right, y'all. We'll see you again Thursday. Till then, stay alert.
Stay live.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're my 2 a.m. wild child, shred the couch on a whim. My little fluffy crazy cat who don't play nice with the kids. You're my danger floof. But I'll keep it safe for your poop. You're an unnatural beast with natural litter under your feet, yeah. At least in your box it's safe. No more dust all over the place. Everybody without clay, say meow.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?